answer the phone. If you can leave a message, please do. If you're calling...
You're listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Free City Radio. This is edition 200, and I'm Stefan Christoph, broadcasting from Mexico City. On the program today, I'm going to be featuring a conversation with a Palestinian artist and musician who's based in Brussels, Kamel, whose artist name is Solt. This is an awesome project. It mixes often field recordings from the front lines, from the context in Palestine, but also from cities around the world. Kamel has created these sonic tapestries, also does work in electronic music. He tours in Europe playing club nights, and in parallel has this very interesting and meaningful practice in sound art. I have met Kamel a few times in Brussels. It was a great pleasure. And I'm really excited that I had a conversation with him that I will be sharing with you here on Free City Radio. Here is my exchange with Palestinian sound artist and musician Solt.
My project name is Solt. This means sound in Arabic, as a raw material. I got familiar with soundscapes, with sound as raw material during my studies in Antwerp, at the Academy of Fine Arts in Antwerp. I studied sound design, and that's when I started to discover the sound as a way to make music, sound as an instrument, actually, not only synthesizers and drum machines and music softwares. And that was the starting point when I started to record soundscapes, field recording from my own environment. And basically, soundscapes is just like something that is organic, something that you cannot remake in softwares. Even if you are able to download a soundscapes from the internet, it doesn't give it, it doesn't make it as authentic as something that you recorded yourself. And that's when I got interested in having my own archive of soundscapes, field recordings. And my first project that included the soundscapes was Music for Checkpoints. That's a techno EP that I've released in 2016. And basically, that was the end of the year project of my first year at the Academy of Fine Arts in Antwerp. So it was a techno music project that mainly was produced using soundscapes that I recorded myself in the summer of 2016 in Palestine, mainly at the checkpoints, but also in cities such as Jerusalem, Nazareth, Haifa. And this was like, if I remember well, I've been there for 10 days, non-stop recording, traffic jams, markets, checkpoint gates, bus stations, soldiers speaking, giving orders to people waiting at the checkpoints. Yeah, so that's it basically.
As a Palestinian artist doing that work to record your environment in the Palestinian context, can you just describe how you felt going out and recording those contexts in Palestine? How was that for you? I mean, there's a very layered, complex, and at times very tense relationship to those spaces for you. And there's quite a lot of interesting projects, some of them very good, where you have people coming from outside to record Palestine, but you're recording Palestine as a Palestinian. It's a different experience.
Well, it's important to mention that it was also like the first time I do field recording in general. So it was a new experience in terms of technical terms. But in terms of like being a Palestinian, that was, it felt a little bit weird going back to your home country and trying to catch sounds. And basically the whole idea of Music for Checkpoints was to reimagine the sounds of checkpoints in other contexts, which is like the result, that techno album that resulted in the field recording. But in terms of feeling, this was something new that you experience your home country for the first time from the perspective of sound, I would say. You always see things, you always try to understand things in political terms, or you try to put things in political context. This time was like, I'm gonna go to that checkpoint or to the market or to the traffic jam, and I'm gonna find the sweet spot where you can have that sound, and that sound is gonna work, that sound is not gonna work, this is interesting, this is not interesting. And then you start looking at your street in a different way. Well, listening in this case, you start to listen in a different way. You start observing things in different way. And this was the main feeling out of it. I would say that in some places it was not easy to record, especially at the checkpoints, as they are considered as military zones. You cannot take pictures, you cannot collect data, let's say, from those places. But also, like, when you record in the market, or like when you're walking in the old city of Nazareth or Jerusalem, people are used to cameras there, but they're not used to like someone going like with a recorder and like following them, or like trying to capture sounds. And but it was like a nice experience in general. Me myself, I was happy with it. I kind of like discovered Nazareth, Jerusalem, Ramallah in a different way than I have always seen it.
Just for people who are listening, can you name that album and also where people can find it, and then we'll move on to some other points of your work.
All right, so that's Music for Checkpoints, released in on 2016. You can listen to that EP on SoundCloud, Bandcamp, if you just type South SAWT Records. And something interesting to mention, I am working on Music for Checkpoints 2.0 with the same soundscapes that I recorded 2016. But the level of technical knowledge have changed since then. So I'm going to try to remake that album with the knowledge that I have gained in the past few years.
Thanks for sharing that. We look forward to that. SAWT Records was the name. Can you talk a bit about your practice now? I mean, in the last few years, you're based in Brussels, and you are working at the sort of contemporary, you know, front lines of experimental electronic music. You know, you're part of a community there and in other places. Maybe just talk about some of your projects, and also like, obviously you're coming to the context of Western Europe as a Palestinian artist, but also as an artist. So how has that whole process been for you?
Yeah, so basically, maybe it's interesting to mention that before coming to Belgium, I didn't have any interest regarding electronic music. And then I started going out in Brussels. I discovered this one, a place called the Café Central, which is ordinary bar where they do a lot of experimental music every Thursday. Friday and Saturday they do techno, and that's when I discovered electronic music, mainly experimental. And then I was like, this sounds good. I want to try to make this kind of music. And that's when all started. The type of music that I was doing 7 years ago, or I was trying to do, that's totally different from what I'm doing right now. Right now, my main focus is techno. From time to time, I do ambient and experimental stuff using a lot of soundscapes and field recordings. But even when I make techno, I realize that I can never escape from this like ambient experimental elements that I started like doing 7 years ago. If you listen to my techno tracks that I've been doing recently, you'll always notice that there is like this atmospheric ambient experimental vibe in it. When it comes to practice, As I mentioned, I use a lot of soundscapes because that's the only, or like the most organic thing that you can get in the production process. Besides that, I use synthesizers, softwares. At some point I was using only soundscapes. I was trying to use only soundscapes, but at some point I felt that I am missing this massive analog sound that's coming from the ground and that can shake the floor. And that's when I started using synthesizers and more like I integrated more drum machines in my work.
So could you talk a bit about your current projects and how it's been to share those pieces?
So as I mentioned already, right now I am working on music for Checkpoints 2.0. That's with the same soundscapes that I have recorded in 2016. Besides that, I am working on mainly only on live sets whenever I get booked in Brussels or somewhere in Europe. I try to work on a new live set each time I'm playing. When it comes to project, I prefer to finish one by one. Otherwise, it would become kind of like a factory production approach that you're just pumping units into the market, and that's when it becomes very low quality work, I would say. So that's why I prefer to finish project per project, try to put a lot of effort, a lot of energy, a lot of concept in one project, work on it properly, get feedback from other people who are on the same domain or even not, and then move to the next projects. So for the moment, I would say music for Checkpoints, it's the main focus besides the live set that I'm doing. And of course, besides that, there is always this daily having fun experimentation with machines, with sounds, and with soundscapes.
Can you talk a bit about how it's been for you as a Palestinian artist to be active in the experimental electronic music world in Western Europe?
Well, it was not easy to convince the people that, like, as a Palestinian, you are doing experimental music or ambient, because there is always this expectation from the party scene that if you are from the Middle East, you must be making like dabki or wedding music or served with hummus and falafel. So in the beginning, like, I have had a lot of people like trying to book me, thinking that it would be like an oriental vibe, you know, like I literally had like someone calling me and I said like, yeah, but I'm gonna send you my SoundCloud and then you listen and then you decide if you really want me to come and play. And then she was like, so you don't make Oriental vibes? And I said, like, no, I don't make Oriental vibes, you know? Like, I make experimental music, I make ambient, I make techno. Why would you label me as a Palestinian that I am making that kind of music, or that I am into, I should fit into that category? I have always made an effort to belong to a specific scene and not necessarily to a region, I would say. Like, I don't want people to label me as someone from, as like an artist from the Middle East region in every biography or in every article or in every poster, you know. Like, I would rather belong to a scene than a region. Of course, you can never, like, you will always have, like, the influence of, like, where you came from in your music or, like, in your art in general. If you do painting, if you do dance, if you make music, whatever you do, you'll always have the influence of the place where you grew up, of the music that you were listening to, of the environment where you have lived. You will always have this influence in your art. You don't have to mention it in the face of everyone that, like, you are from here, you are from there, you grew up with that music, or, like, you have been through that and you have been through that. So basically, as I told you, like, I'm trying to belong to a scene rather than to a region. And if you think about it, it's a bit annoying that if you make techno or if you make ambient music, if you are from Syria or, like, from Lebanon or from Jordan or from Palestine, the platforms, like, in Western Europe, they always try to say that this guy or this lady from Lebanon making techno. But if you see, like, a German DJ, nobody will say that he's from Germany. They will just say, like, his name or her name. End of the story. So the question is, why do we always have to be labeled as people from that region? And the question is, what can be done not to be labeled? And that's what I am trying to do when I tell you I try to belong to a scene and not to a region.
At the same time, often in these experimental music milieus in Western contexts, not everybody, but there's often, like, a surprise if you see, like, a person from the global South who, you know, is racialized, who does experimental work. You know, it's not super common, right? And people, even, it's changing in the last years, but there's this context of expectation. And, you know, you mentioned, like, a German artist would not be labeled with an identity. But I think digging into a little bit about, you know, in some ways, recent years has seen a huge advance in terms of people thinking about intersectionality and thinking about, like, representation. But in a sort of neoliberal model, what that often has ended up being is, like, oh, well, we have to book artist A and just label that they're from this place. But it's less often about, like, maybe having an actual creative relationship with the person, or, like, a contextual understanding of what the person does on a creative level. I mean, this moment is complicated and exciting at the same time. So, and I think it's hard to talk about this sort of changing environment within experimental music, but also more broadly within the cultural sector. But yeah, so I'd love to hear any of your thoughts about that, how it's been for you.
Yeah, basically, I, like, you said it yourself, that it's always, like, a surprise that someone from the Middle East or the South is making experimental music or any kind of music that's not familiar in that region. But why is it surprising? And I think I'm not trying to underestimate the diversity and the diversity of sound and how sound is rooted in the culture in Western Europe. But in the Middle East, I think the daily life is more rich in sounds than in Brussels or in Paris. I have done a lot of field recordings in Brussels, and then at some point I have realized that it's always the same sounds, like repeating, you know, like it's the metro, it's the tram, it's the traffic. Even you even need to go like outside of the city to capture like birds, you know, like they're not there anymore. Whereas if you go to a place, for example, Jerusalem, like you can be sure that every single day you will have a different soundscape from the city, or Nazareth, or Ramallah, or Cairo, or Mexico City, you know, like. So I think it's a normal, organic way of people evolving with their taste towards sound and towards the music, that you have people from the region like experimenting with those sounds. And basically, it's not something that came from nowhere. It's something that came from the richness of sound that we have in that region. And at some point, people realize that, we can do this with that richness of sound that we have.
Also, I think some people listening to this won't be familiar with concepts like maqam and sort of this idea of what is experimental music. If you go to some old recordings from Egypt, like Sheikh Imam or something, they'll be just jamming for long periods, like 50 minutes, just with oud and vocalizations that are very much not planned, but very much in the moment, in the emotion of the moment, also in the political moment. And yeah, just maybe it would be a nice opportunity for people to also think about the framework of like a sort of understandings of what a song is, like culturally, is very different. If we think about like maqam, if we think about, and that goes for many regions of the world, but we're talking about you know, Palestine in this context.
Yeah, like also like talking about maqams, for example, like nowadays in the electronic music scene in Europe, a lot of producers, like they are willing to work with time signatures that are not like 4/4, which I love, by the way, like 4 on the floor, techno, that's my cup of tea. But it's becoming very common to work with other time signatures than 4/4. And the fact that you mentioned maqam, it's just like we have had this idea of experimenting with times and with the time signatures on the music scale back in the 40s and 30s and the 50s. And I think like music from Asia, from the Middle East, from South America has influenced a lot of music scenes in Europe, and now it's still influencing a lot of scenes, including the scenes of electronic music.
But I think often, even though that's shifted a bit, that influence of, like, for example, you know, maqam structure, or even like Balkan time signatures, or you know, going back to indigenous music, you know, in the Americas, and how that influenced blues. You know, we're getting into a huge topic, but I think it's an interesting contrast to what you were saying about the surprise when you see somebody from the South doing experimental music in a lot of these spaces that are still very exclusive and not inclusive of those types of histories that are embodied by artists who are representing those regions.
Yeah, I think the main issue is that a lot of platforms, like in the last in the last decade, I would say last 10 to 5 years, when you had this huge explosion of young people in the Arab world discovering, I'm saying the Arab world, but that applies to almost everywhere on the world. But when you had this huge explosions of talents and of skills and of people being creative, a lot of festivals and venues and platforms in Europe, they wanted to be diverse and they wanted to be multicultural and they wanted to be inclusive. So that's when they started paying attention to those talents, unfortunately. It's not, it didn't happen organically, I would say. I don't know what's your take on that, but I had the feeling that 10 years ago, like a lot of talents that we know right now were not even discovered in Europe. I think like what's missing is that support for Palestinian or like artists from, my cat's going crazy, from the region, like the platforms, the venues, the festivals are choosing or picking some artists, as long as you don't express your political beliefs. And the problem is that this policy is also influencing the artists themselves. Like nowadays, a lot of artists are afraid to express their political belief because they know if they express their political belief, they will not get that residency, they will not get that funding, they will not play in that festival. And this is what's the biggest issue for me. Is the issue is not that you don't play at that festival at the end, it's okay, but the problem is that you know that you cannot not only express yourself, but for example, you cannot put that political element in your music because you will know that you will not go anywhere with it. Somehow that's influencing the performance and the concept of artists from the region at the end of the day.
That was a conversation with Solt, a Palestinian sound artist named Kamel, who is based in Brussels. I'd really encourage you to look up his work. We will be linking to his work in our program notes, which you can find on our archives at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. This has been another edition of Free City Radio, which is hosted and produced by me, Stefan Christoph. We air on CKUT 90.3 FM at 11 a.m. on Wednesdays, on CGLO 1690 a.m. in Geogeauge, Montreal on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg at 10:30 p.m. on Tuesdays, on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario at 11:30 a.m. on Wednesdays, on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria, B.C. on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and Saturdays at 7 a.m. on Met Radio 1280 a.m. in Toronto at 5:30 a.m. on Fridays, and now on CKCU 93.1 FM in Ottawa on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. We are also a podcast. Look us up on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and please tell a friend about the show. I really appreciate it. I hope you're doing well, and I'll speak to you next week.
Resistance
Radio.
Exploring feminism and technology through space and time.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to F-Files Radio. You are listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. I just wanted to start the show off by saying Happy Black History Month, and for today's episode, we're going to be featuring and playing some artists that will be performing at Dweller Festival in New York City. And this year is the 5th edition, and the information can be found to purchase tickets and the lineup information on their Instagram account, Dweller Forever. In the link in their bio, you can also have access to many articles and blog posts and information that will be of much knowledge. Another announcement I wanted to make is Happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there. And this evening there will be a vigil which will take place in Cabot Square.